the flowers that bloom in the spring. Chala! Oh my goodness, I am so happy to be here on Dave's Gone By on this wonderful Sunday evening, and I'm excited because there's a flower that we're going to be talking about. And I love flowers to begin with, because I am so florid and floral. But I don't have a flower at my house, and by George, you've never seen it in your house or any of your neighbors. This is a special one, and they've imported it all the way to the Brooklyn Botanic Garden, because I've got to care for it very gently, very carefully, and I'm not going to tell you why. I have the Vice President of Horticulture at the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens to tell us all about this amazing plant. Hello, Patrick Kalina.
Hello. Nice to see you. Talk to you.
You're not seeing me.
Yeah,
by telephone.
Well, we're a little delirious here at Brooklyn Botanic Garden, I have to say.
Oh, is the smell coming yet?
The smell has come.
Oh, dear.
It is not quite as intense as it was. It's really only the first 12 hours where that's intense and really overwhelming. And then now it comes in little waves every once in a while. But
well, so do I. I'm sorry, yeah. Excuse me.
It just every once in a while you get a little bit of it, but that's all.
Well, let's roll back, shall we? Let's like a foreskin. Let's just roll it back and tell us about this new, well, not new, but this big flower that you have. What is it? Where is it? How is it? Tell us.
Okay. What is it? It is Amorphophallus titanum. The
Amorpho what?
Yes, I know. That's it gets people's attention. It's named for its general shape, which you can enjoy on our website at www.bbg.org. And what we do, we put up a webcam that takes pictures every minute or so that people can see this plant evolve, because it really is an evolving thing. And it is a beautiful plant. It's one of the world's largest flowers. This particular version of it is almost 6 feet tall.
Good heavens.
And it is a very rare thing. It's sort of rare in its native environment, which is Sumatra. It's rare to find it in a garden, and it's even rarer to bloom. It's taken us 10 years to get a flower, so this is a big deal.
In other words, 10 years ago, somebody planted a seed, and then in the middle of, is it Indonesia? Where the hell is Sumatra anyway?
Sumatra is in Indonesia.
Okay, so
and we got a seedling that was imported via a collector in North Carolina, a nursery, mm-hmm. and we have been growing this plant on year after year after year with hopes that one day we'd see a flower. And you should understand, this plant has not bloomed in New York City since 1939. This is a pretty unusual occurrence that's taking place.
Well, but is it because, well, certainly it couldn't grow in New York because of our climate. But
right.
the garden, the botanic, never imported one and tried this before since 1939?
Right. We've only had the plant for 10 years. In 1939, New York Botanic Garden in the Bronx bloomed it, and they bloomed it for the second time. They were the first garden in the country to do so. But it is a pre-mercurial item, so you never know what you're going to get or why. We don't know why it's blooming now. We're just happy that it is. And right now, if you can, you check that web picture, you'll see scores of people standing around gawking at a plant that's larger, in most cases, than they are.
Well, you said it actually grows really, even though it takes 10 years to blossom, the darn thing is growing, what, like an inch an hour or something, or an inch a day? How does that work?
Well, it kind of goes in a burst for a short period of time during the summer, and then it will go dormant after a while. But what we saw this year was, instead of a leaf stem coming up, a flower bud. And imagine it looked like a yellow crayon. And it started to grow up. It got to be about 5.5, almost 6 feet tall. And slowly, it's wrapped by a thing that looks sort of like a cabbage leaf. That starts to fold back and creates this beautiful burgundy, sort of Elizabethan collar effect around a yellow spike. It's pretty dramatic.
My goodness. But also, let's remind people, one of the things that drew people to this is not just the size of the thing, although size does matter. I hate to tell that to people.
Right.
But there's also an odor component.
There is an odor component. It's pretty fascinating. And I think this is one of the things that really grabs people. In its native environment, it is only, or anywhere, it's only available to be pollinated for a couple of days. And in its native environment, it's pretty rarely encountered. So it needs a big homing beacon for its pollinators, which in the case of this plant are plants that would be attracted to what in essence we would call roadkill. So it's mimicking the scent of a dead animal to draw in sweat bees or carrion beetles, and that is the insect that pollinates this particular plant.
Sweat bee?
Sweat bees.
What is a sweat
bee? Who knew?
No, I have no idea. I mean, if you kick over a a hive of sweat bees, what happens? I mean,
I would assume it would be unpleasant, but that's just that's not a scientific answer.
But are they actual bees, or is that just another kind of a?
No, it's we're talking about an Indonesian insect species, and we don't have those here, obviously, and we don't even have lots of other plants for this pollination to take place. But what we managed to do this year was we were fortunate that Virginia Tech bloomed their plant a couple of weeks ago, so they were kind enough to send us their pollen. And we're using that pollen today to pollinate the our plant with the hopes that we'll generate some seed for other gardens.
Nice. So the whole world can stink. Well, it doesn't stink for very long, does it?
No, it's 12 hours. But it's intense. And, you know, imagine a fishing dock at low tide. And
ooh.
You get some indication of what we're talking about.
But you say it's already stunk now the worst.
It's already stunk the worst, and I think that what you're still getting are people sort of leaning over the ropes, trying to get a little bit. And every once in a while, like I say, you get a little wave that comes, and you can get a sense of what we're dealing with.
My goodness. And then how much longer does it have to flower, do you think?
Well, we'll have it all day today and probably all day tomorrow, and we're hoping that, you know, we get a lot of visitors on the weekend. We're hoping that it'll hang around for Sunday. We'll definitely leave it out. But, you know, the best way for folks to monitor how we're doing is to go on to the webcam and to get a look and to judge for themselves what this thing looks like and whether it's worth a visit, which I think they'll be convinced that it is.
But once the flower dies, the whole thing doesn't droop over and die. It's not like
it actually,
me after sex.
Imagine, because, again, this yellow column, imagine the peak of a witch's hat. It just is going to flop over, and that process is that starts to start to go down. It's really working, we hope, to make fruit. So underneath that big column, there'll be an additional column of little red fruits that will produce the seed, we hope, that we'll be able to turn into other plants.
Well, I've digged a few little red fruits, and they produce some seeds for me, but that's something totally, totally different. Now, what is, aside from, first of all, you're the vice president of horticulture at the Botanic Garden. So,
right.
So how did you get to that position, if you don't mind my using that word?
Well, I've been working in public horticulture for more than a decade and was long familiar and a huge fan of this garden. This is really a terrific garden, and was invited to come and apply for this position, and the rest is history. I mean, if for those who haven't been here, it's a small garden in sort of universal terms. It was 52 acres, but in New York City terms, that's a lot of real estate. And in those 52 acres are a series of very beautiful and very impressive gardens and collections. So we're very fortunate that we're so popular with our city neighbors and our suburban neighbors. But this is sort of an added attraction, a little bonus for the folks who come and visit us to see something they wouldn't see every day or in a lifetime, maybe.
But does it have to go back to Sumatra after it blooms and you're done with it, or do you guys keep it for 10 more years or something?
No, this is part of our collection. And what's great about it is this is an example of what we do. You know, when you come to the garden, you're not going to see everything every day, and you won't see everybody who works here every day. But there are a lot of people working behind doors and behind glass trying to grow things that are going to entertain people, and it may take 10 years, but that's part of the deal.
Wow. So tell me, what is, aside from this wonderful Amorphophallus titanium, I just love that name, what are your other favorite flowers at the garden?
Well, pick a season, I think, and we can talk about...
we're heading in the end of August into September, October, so...
Okay, so we're looking forward now. What are we looking at? Well, right now, right outside our lily pools, or we can start with the lily pools, we have these long, formal pools that are filled with water lilies, both hardy forms and tropical forms, of all colors and stripes. And on either side are lush, colorful borders. On one side, mixed borders of perennial plants and shrubs, small trees. On the other side, a mix of tropical plants, all kinds of colors, sizes, and textures. That's pretty dramatic right there. Our conservatories are filled with colorful plants now. The rose garden will get another boost. We have a very famous rose garden, the first rose garden in a public garden in the country. And that will receive its sort of second season in September.
Well, I never promised you a rose garden, but we're hoping.
Well, I'll promise you that if you come to the rose garden in September, you will be impressed.
Well, let me ask you. You sort of sidestepped that question. Now, I was asking you personally, as a person, not as like the representative of the Botanic Garden. But what's your favorite flower of all year round?
Well, it's hard to. Nobody wants to pick a favorite child, and it's hard to pick a favorite. There are things that happen here seasonally that to me help make the season. For example, there's a plant called Carolina Allspice that blooms here in the spring, and it's a shrub that with a little star-like flower, and that flower can smell like pineapple or strawberry or apple. It depends on the day, and so little things like that that sort of carry along through the season. Those are particular favorites.
That's pretty amazing. Are there flowers there and plants that are even rarer and or stinkier than the Titan apple?
Well, there's nothing that's stinkier. We have another species of Amorphophallus that's a little smaller that's in our tropical house all the time. And when that blooms, you don't really see it so much. It's sort of tucked in the back. But you can tell when you go in the house that something's not as it normally would be. So,
and you don't blame the dog. You know it's the flower.
Yeah, there's no dog to blame. We're wondering whether there is an animal of some kind in the house usually when we're looking for it. But that's usually in like late spring, early summer.
My goodness. Well, again, please remind everybody how to get to the Brooklyn Botanic Garden, and again, they can look at the website. Just the usual basic info. Tell our people.
Okay. Well, Brooklyn Botanic Garden is, reached via the 2 and the 3 subway or from the B and the Q subway, and that is accessible through Long Island Railroad through Atlantic Avenue. You can also drive here. We have a parking lot nearby at Washington Avenue near Eastern Parkway. But the website, which is really, I can brag about the website because it's not my department, so it's not like I'm bragging about myself.
Oh, go ahead.
We have a really good technical staff here, and they have put together a website at bbg.org that has tons of information. It has a whole background of this plant, a running blog that's a pretty comical little blog, observations of different staff members about how this plant got to where it is, and then all of the directions and photos that you might want to have to inspire you to visit.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, tear yourselves away from the naked male webcams and go to bbg.org to see this wonderful flower and all the other offerings at the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens. I want to thank so much Patrick Colina, Vice President of Horticulture at the BBG.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay.